Now, if you happen to be above the age of 10, I think it's... Mackenzie's raising his hand here. I think it's safe to say that you've probably had the experience during your life to grow something from a seed. If you are over the age of 10 and you have not done this yet, you really should. It is simply an amazing process to participate in and to observe. A seed is such a small and insignificant little germ, yet it is so full of potential. All you have to do is plop it in the ground, give it enough water and enough warmth, and in due time, up springs a plant. You can practically see life unfold before your eyes. This little tiny seed turns into something alive. In the garden that we had about 2 years ago, I grew several different pepper plants from seed. I have a friend who shipped a bunch of hot peppers to me, and actually in the fall, towards the end of the feast, and I was excited about them. I'd never seen them before, this particular variety. So I took some seeds and I kept them throughout the winter, and in March I started to germinate them and grew them from seed. And those little flakes in late March grew to be nearly 5 feet tall by the end of the summer. It was really a joy for me to see them grow, especially knowing their unassuming origins. Now, when I got them in my mind to sprout them in the early spring, I had no idea they'd be so productive. I really didn't know what to expect, and it was extremely satisfying. And having been so close to the beginning and the entire life cycle of the process, my wife will tell you that she'll verify that I cared more about these plants than anything else in the whole yard. But it was a really fun experience, and that's why I'm sharing it with you, and very fascinating to watch. Jesus Christ must have been similarly amazed by the process of growing things from seed, too, because he used the metaphor of a seed in a number of different parables, and I'd like to share one of those with you now. If you want to turn over to Luke 8, I'll go ahead and read the parable of the sower. Luke 8, I'll start in verses, reading through verses 4 through 9. All right. Luke 8, starting in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city. He spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So here we have the parable of the seed being scattered about in various types of environments with different results. I'll have you skip down to verse 11, where we read the interpretation of this parable. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones who fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. I won't go into too much depth about every single facet here. I think we've heard other messages that go into that in greater detail. But I will point out a couple things to lay the groundwork for what I want to talk about today. The seed, as Jesus explains here, is the Word of God. But it also can apply when we think about it as the gift of the Holy Spirit too. The Word of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit can be received by us, and it grows within us. It is used to grow. Now the point here is that we are given something with amazing potential. We have the Word of God, what the Bible teaches us, God's way of living. And within that, there is an opportunity for us. And that opportunity is that kinetic potential that we have once that seed is planted within our lives, the opportunity to be first fruits. So knowing that, and thinking about this parable, we have to ask ourselves a couple different questions. First, we have to ask ourselves, how are we receiving it? How are we receiving the Word of God and the Holy Spirit? Do we have a receptive attitude? Is it falling on fertile ground? Or are we falling into the category elsewhere? Is it on rocky ground, or is it being falling into an environment where there are thorny bushes? But the point here is that we have to think about our attitude. What kind of environment does our attitude provide? And secondly, we have to ask ourselves what we're doing with it. Are we working with it? Or do we just let it sit there and do nothing? Are we nourishing it? Are we tending to it like we should? And third, we have to ask ourselves how seriously we take this. Is this something that's just a little speck to us, or do we really understand the potential of this seed in our lives? Do we really treasure it and treat it with responsibility? So the responsibility is another aspect here. So knowing that God has called us, planting a seed of potential in our lives, I think it's important to spend some time and think about just how the seed is growing in our lives. And that's what I really want to focus on today, is that growth within our lives. God wants this growth within our lives to be successful, but we're responsible for it. What I'd like to talk about today are these three points, the attitude, the process, and the responsibility that we have in growing. I want to talk about what it takes to bring that potential to full maturity. So I'll reiterate one more time. We'll talk about our attitude, thinking about how fertile our environment is, thinking about whether we have the right state of mind to really grow. We'll talk about the process, think about how we are participating in the process of growth or whether we are stagnant. And we'll think about the responsibility. Are we taking this calling seriously, or allowing ourselves to profit with it, or is it just laying fallow? All right, let's go into thinking about attitude. Now, we all need to ask ourselves if we have the proper attitude to foster growth. What kind of environment are we providing for this seed from God to grow within us? Are we providing a fertile environment? We'll have to look at what kind of attitude provides a fertile environment. Or are we providing a hostile environment? What kind of attitude provides a hostile environment? We'll look at both of those aspects of attitude. So please turn over to Matthew 18, and we'll take a look at one of the very starting points of attitude. Matthew 18, and I'll read verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. this should be familiar to us, but really, why do we need to be like children? What qualities of being childlike provide the right attitude for growth? Well, those who have kids know, children are learning sponges. That's all they do. They desire innately to learn and grow. Their minds are absolutely open and receptive to understanding new things. And this is the way we need to be. We need to be receptive to the teachings of God, to the Word of God within our lives. Now, humility is something that's also mentioned here. Humility is absolutely necessary to learn, because we can't let ourselves get in the way, preventing us from understanding something that is being taught by the Word of God. Now, it's funny, my oldest child, who isn't all that old, he will have conversations and he'll talk to me, and I shake my head in wonder sometimes. he talks about, "Daddy, when you grow up to be a little boy, you'll do blah," right? He's clearly not understanding how age works, but I also have to think about this scripture every time, because he's so correct. We all need to grow up to be little children. Okay, so we have to have the right receptive, humble attitude. We have to be willing to learn. That is critical. Be willing to learn, just as a child is. I'll have you turn over to Proverbs 9, and I'll read another scripture to you. Proverbs 9, verses 6 through 9. Here we read about both foolish and wise men. Verse 6 of Proverbs 9. "Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." And verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, what we can look at here and pull out of this set of verses is that wise people have the attitude that there is more understanding to gain. They are wise because they're willing to understand more. They have a humble attitude. However, the foolish, the scoffer, the know-it-all, if you will, is hopeless. That attitude is damaged. They are unwilling, self-righteous perhaps, as we read in the member letter, where they are not willing to learn and grow. That kind of attitude is what we need to prevent within ourselves if we want to grow. I like to say, when you're done learning, you're done. No one can grow more if there's nothing more to learn. So, again, in order to be wise, be receptive to correction, and be receptive to knowing that there is more to learn. The Bereans that we read about in Acts 17 had a good attitude, and I'd like to read that in Acts 17 verses 10 through 13. We read about them. Acts 17, starting in verse 10. "Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, as well as men." In this specific example, we see a group of people who are very receptive to learning. But importantly here, they're willing to work at it. They spend time, and they verify the understanding of what they are learning within the Bible against the scriptures. So they're willing to learn, they're humble enough to do it, and they verify it by working at it. That's the kind of attitude we need to have, willing to work, not just willing to hear. That is how we gain true understanding. Okay, now, as I've mentioned, it is very important to have the right attitude. But it's also very important to prevent ourselves from developing the wrong attitude. We need to be receptive to growth, having an open mind. However, if you find yourself opening your mind so much that your ears start to itch, you should stop. Itching ears is an attitude that we're familiar with in the Bible as an indication of the wrong kind of receptivity. I think it's important to know that we need to be receptive to learning, but we need to be receptive to learning from the right authorities, and that is God's Word in the Bible. So I'll have you turn over to 2 Timothy, and I'll read the scripture that I'm referring to here. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, talks about itching ears. Second Timothy 4, starting in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and be turned aside to fables. Now, here we read what Timothy is saying. It is important to grow in the right direction, as I've explained so far. But following God's way is the goal. Here we see the flaw. The flaw happens when we want to follow our own desires. Once that happens, when we follow our pet ideas, things that are unfounded, it can really be cancerous to our growth. And that is not what we need. We want to grow in the right direction. And we don't want to cause problems for ourselves. So it's important to grow in the right direction. I'll read another scripture related to attitude, and I'll just cite this for you. This is Proverbs 27, verse 17. It's another scripture that we're familiar with. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Now, here, the second sharpens here is the Hebrew word chadad, which means to keep alert. All right, and what we can take away from this scripture is that working together, we need to help each other we need to help each other stay alert. However, we need to be receptive to it, right? We need to be as the wise man in Proverbs, where being willing to accept criticism that is constructive, that iron sharpening iron, brothers helping each other out. And that also indicates a bit of a process here, and I'd like to get into the process aspect of growing. Learning and growing takes work. It doesn't just happen. We all know that sleeping with the Bible under our pillow isn't really going to get the words into our head. Likewise, reading the Bible and going through our lives without reflecting, analyzing, and really thinking, doing that is not going to benefit our understanding. We need to work with it. We need to think. If we want to understand, we need to spend time thinking, asking questions, and searching the Bible for answers. It needs to be an interactive process, not a passive kind of activity. And this is hard, right? We all want to read the Bible. We all do it. But is it really enhancing our understanding? We shouldn't be too hard on ourselves just yet, because it doesn't all happen at once. It's a process that takes time, and it does take effort. A lifetime, really. Now, I'll have you turn over to Luke chapter 2, and I want to read verses 51 and 52. We can read a little bit about the growth of Jesus. Luke 2, verse 51, and just to give you a bit of a setup here, this is an example of when Jesus was a boy in the synagogue, and his mom just was coming back to get him. Verse 51 of Luke 2, "Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to him. But his mother kept all these things in her heart." Verse 52 is what I wanted to focus on. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Now Jesus, as we know, was flesh. He was human, just as we are. And that is critically important for many reasons. He was sacrificed for our sake, and he needed to be human for that sacrifice to take place. But here, he's human, right? He did not know everything when he was born. He had to build his understanding over time. He had to learn and grow in the same way that we do. However, unlike you and me, he did an absolutely perfect job. He was able to get to the end of his life, and God said he was well pleased with his son Jesus. He developed a perfect understanding, but he did have to work at it. He did learn and grow, as the scripture says. So it doesn't happen automatically. It takes time. It takes growth. You have to work with it in order to build your understanding. And we can use Jesus as an example for building that perfect understanding. I'm going to have you turn over to 1 Peter, and we'll kind of walk through how the process works, or at least some of the high points. 1 Peter 2, and I'll read verses 1 through 3. "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." It's important to get started. We've got to start from somewhere. And starting with the basics is what Peter is telling these people to do. The basics, the things that are foundational, are form the structure from which we learn everything else. We can't do anything without the basics. So if you feel like you don't have a solid understanding of the basics, start there. Because you have to build there. As we read in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, I'll read verses 9 through 10. All right, Isaiah 28, starting in verse 9. "Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Just those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." If we know the basics, that's good. That's a starting point that we all need to start from. But we need to build upon them, as Isaiah is saying here. It's a process. We need to constantly learn, constantly go back and think and analyze, and we do this in order to build a good, solid understanding. And the Bible talks about reading in other places where there is no progress from the basics. And as called children, we can't let that happen. We need to grow and do something with the gift that we've been given. All right, so let's say we're growing, we're building, as we should be. There's another part of the process, pruning. Learning isn't always fun. And in John 15, we can read a little bit about that. John 15, I'll read verses 1 through, starting in verse 1 and through 2. John 15, starting in verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Learning hurts. growing hurts. If we're going to really build and grow in the direction that God wants us to, we have to be ready to have those parts in our life that aren't bearing fruit be removed. We need to bear fruit of the Spirit, and if there's something that's there that's not, then we have to be prepared to let that go. And it's hard. It can really hurt because we are human. And it really requires some true introspection and thinking about our lives to really come to grips with that process, that part of the process, when something is being taken away that isn't bearing fruit. Now, so we start with the basics. We build. We keep we do our housekeeping. We make sure that what we have is bearing fruit. And once we're there, let's say we've built up we're going along really well. We might get comfortable, right? We might say, I feel pretty good. I think I've got a good understanding of what the Bible teaches. You might get comfortable. Another word might be complacent. Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, I'll read for you, talks a little bit about how to address that. I'm always reminded about this whenever I feel good about something I might understand. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If we ever think that we've got everything figured out, we're absolutely going to be in trouble. God really has a much greater and deeper understanding than we ever will. And if we come to believe that we have nothing more to learn, our attitude is no longer fertile for growth, but it becomes hostile. Our minds are no longer open. But we trust in ourselves instead of trusting in God. We always have to remember that God's knowledge is above ours, and there's always more to learn. The good news is that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can learn more, always. And I'll read about that. It's very encouraging. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit," that seed in us, right? "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." If we want to build our understanding, we have the tool to do it. It's really empowering. That Holy Spirit is that tool. Now, the correct attitude, the active participation in the growth process is really not enough to develop godly understanding, because we need that Holy Spirit to make it clear. It is a real gift and a treasure. And it really is the only means by which we can develop our understanding. So that's a little bit about the process. Start with the basics. Grow. Prune. Make sure that you can handle it. And rely on the Holy Spirit to teach you the things, the deep things of God, that we can always learn more about. Okay, the process isn't easy. It takes time and patience. And the right attitude can be hard to maintain. But with that in control, or at least in our mind, we have the right starting point. But there's another essential part, and that is the responsibility. We have a responsibility to be profitable. God believes that we can be successful and grow with the seed he has planted. And it is our responsibility to live in such a way so that we can bear fruit and be pleasing to God. Responsibility is to grow, to profit, and to make progress. It's a requirement. There's no getting away from it. 2 Peter talks about this, and I'll I'll read the beginning of 2 Peter to go into that. All right, 2 Peter, and I'll start in verse 2 of chapter 1. So, 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's a lot that's said here, but Peter is saying that we have a tool, we have the potential, we have a gift, a promise, and he's saying multiply it. All right, let's go on. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. There is a huge building process that's going on. That's a construction project. And it's big. It's a lifelong project for us. And he's telling us to add more and more and more, and to grow using the tool that we have. And verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we read here that we have an amazing potential through the gifts that God has given us. And Peter's really telling us not to sit still. He uses a lot of active verbs here. We have add, multiply, abound. I mean, those build upon each other. He's not saying sit still, get comfortable. And he's saying that we're responsible to do something with the Holy Spirit. Grow, bear fruit. We have to remember that we are a light to everyone around us, an example of God's way of life, and that is what God wants us to do. All right. So let me read another scripture in 2 Peter, and this is in chapter 3. And I'll start in verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here we read about two different kinds of people, two different attitudes. On one hand, we have the attitude of those who are unwilling to learn. They're untaught, right? Unstable. And if we're unwilling to learn, we're not going to be taught. We're going to be unstable. And we're going to twist the teachings of the Bible. We're going to grow in a cancerous way. We don't want to have that kind of attitude. All right? But Peter tells us to not do that. And he really strongly says that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and be steadfast, all right? And diligent. Diligent is a word that he's used twice here. Diligent means careful and persistent. That's constant. That's not stopping. That's not letting up. That is constant effort, all right? A constant effort spent on growing in the grace of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we do that by working at it, by going through the process that we outlined before. Okay, let's go over to Hebrews and read in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. All right, let's see if I can find it here. All right, Hebrews 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him. So what happens if we just kind of neglect, if we sit on the sidelines, if we don't take care to continue growing, to be diligent? We drift. Do you know what drifting is? Think about that. Anybody who's ever had a boat and seen it drift away, it sits there. It's effortless. But it's gone, right? If you don't tie it to the shore, if you don't take some kind of effort, it floats away, just like that. There's a force. It's strange how it happens, but it goes away. And it takes zero effort for that to happen, right? Zero effort means drifting away. If we want to grow, we need to be constantly working at it. It's a responsibility, once again. Now I want to read the parable of the unprofitable servant as well, because I believe that really drives home the point of responsibility. And this I'll read from Matthew 25, in verses 14 through 30. All right. Matthew 25. Starting in verse 14. Let me make sure I got that right. Okay. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Growth, profit, according to ability, of course, but something was done with what was given. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. 22. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides them. So the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not gathered scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. With the gift that God has given us, he expects something. He expects us to grow. Now, growth is rewarded. It's rewarded with what? More responsibility here. We see it doesn't say you're going to be rich. It says you're going to be a ruler over many things. That's responsibility. Okay? We need to handle the responsibility that we have to grow. If we prove that we can profit with what we have, if we can control it, if we can make it flourish, we'll be given the opportunity to profit even more. We'll be given more responsibility. And I can't stress this enough, it is critical, it is a requirement that God gives to us. If we don't do anything with it, we're cast out, all right? We need to grow. We need to grow. Okay, Luke 12, verse 48 is one more scripture I'd like to read here before I start closing up. And that's, Luke 12, verse 48 reads, "But he who did not know, yet committed these things, deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given," that's like you and me, "from him much will be required, and to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more." I think you get the point. We've been given a gift, and we're responsible to do something with it. Now, the Passover season is appearing to us on the horizon. And now is the time. It's always the time, but now especially, we need to take some special effort and really think about how well we're growing. And the place to start is by checking to see if we have the right attitude. Are we receptive to growing? Or do we have an attitude that is preventing us from growing? And then, once we're sure that we have the right attitude, we need to be diligent, to be involved in the process, to be careful, to be persistent. We need to spend some time to really think about things and put effort into our spiritual growth. It's not a passive endeavor. Now, let's see here. And again, it is our responsibility to do something. We have a gift. It carries a reward, and it's our responsibility to do something with it. I'll read one last scripture, and this is in Hebrews 6, verses 11 through 12. Hebrews 6, verse 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises."